Each gospel account highlights different parts of the day of resurrection. And today we're concentrating on John's retelling. And John brings us up close and personal. His attention to detail really draws us into the events of that wonderful day. I'm Mary Magdalene, one of the women who was at the cross watching Jesus die on Friday, and I could hardly wait for the Sabbath to be over. I headed off to the tomb where Jesus has been laid. I didn't even think about how I'd move the stone away. And what was my reaction? I mean, what would your reaction be? My first thought was that grave robbers had stolen Jesus' body. So although I trudged to the grave, I turned and ran off to find, well, any of the disciples. I encountered Peter and John, and the men took over. Of course they did. They both peered into the tomb, confirmed it was empty, and then apparently realized exactly what it meant. And they headed off back to their homes and the others. But I hung on. I was too grief-stricken to understand any deeper meaning. It was bad enough that Jesus was dead and killed in such a horrendous and unfair way. But now his body had gone, and I didn't have a chance to treat his body with herbs and spices and aromatic oils, which included frankincense and myrrh, those curious birth gifts. I just couldn't believe it. My eyes were blinded by tears. I needed to check it was true. Had Jesus' body really vanished? I peered into the tomb in the dimness of dawn and saw not one but two angels. How did Peter and John miss them? And one of the angels spoke to me and said, "Mary, why are you crying?" And as I was preparing this, I wrote, "Stop retelling and make it about us gathered here today." John invites us to reacquaint ourselves with the risen Lord Jesus. You know, the one who lived on this earth and enjoyed life and then suffered pain, exactly like we do today. The death of a close friend, what did Jesus do? He cried. Tempted to use his God-given powers for the wrong reason, what did Jesus do? He used scripture to resist the devil. He comforted his followers when they thought they were about to die. Jesus was asleep. And when they woke him, he questioned their faith. And this is what Easter is all about. If we do not believe that Jesus rose from the dead, what are we doing here week by week? I'll tell you something personal. Despite being a Christian for many, many years, I used to be unsure about the virgin birth. And then I stood in the very room where the first test tube baby, Louise Joyce Brown, was conceived. Not only with no father present, but with no mother either. And if humans can achieve that, then why do we doubt the power of God? And if we can grasp the miracle of his birth, why not accept the miracle of his death? Because what does believing in the resurrection actually mean? It means that Jesus is alive. Jesus lives. We're not singing the hymn by Christian Fertigot Gellert, translated by Francis Elizabeth Cox, but I am going to quote from it. Terry? Thank you. Jesus lives. Thy terrors now can, O death, no more appall us. Jesus lives, and now is death but the gate to life immortal. Now remember, I struggled with it being written by one person and translated by another. And like most things where there are translations, there are variants. And someone has personalized those words. Jesus lives, the victory's won, death no longer can appall me. Jesus lives, for me he died. Jesus lives, I know full well, nothing me from him shall sever. Life nor death nor powers of hell part me now from Christ forever. And that last verse is a paraphrase from Romans 8. Someone much cleverer than me summed up what we need to take away today. That John's narrative emphasizes the resurrection isn't just a fact to be reported. It's a profound event requiring personal faith. John's narrative emphasizes the resurrection isn't just a fact to be reported, but a profound event requiring personal faith. So let's ask ourselves, are there situations in our lives where we despair and where we feel defeated? Have we forgotten that God is able to triumph in what seems like the most hopeless of circumstances? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the great message of Easter, that in what the world counted defeat, you won the greatest of victories. We praise you for your triumph over evil and death, and for everything that this has meant over the years to so many people. And most of all, we thank you for our own experiences of your resurrection power, the times you have brought me and us victory over the things that deny us the opportunity of living life to the full. Teach us to live each day in the light of what you've done, confident that no situation, however dreadful it may seem, is finally beyond your power to redeem. And so may we put our trust in you always for this life and the life to come. I said I'd share something personal earlier. And of course, most of you know that 13 years ago, David was told I might live 6 months. And through God's power, I am still here. And each time I have the blood tests, and David says he hates living with me between the tests and the results, but each time I have them, and they come back, you're okay for another 6 months. Do you know what I have to say? First of all, thank you, God. But secondly, why am I still here? What is it you've still got for me to do? We're moving to a time of celebrating our Holy Communion.